Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10x Podcast Group, the home of the skillful art of manipulation. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present The Silent Partner, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1: The Proposal. The rain was relentless that evening, drumming against the windows of the upscale networking venue like impatient fingers. Daniel Harlow, nursing a watered-down whiskey, stood awkwardly near a cluster of suited professionals. He had always hated these events: the forced smiles, the veiled power plays, the suffocating small talk. But tonight he had little choice. His fledgling freelance business was floundering, and he needed clients, or investors, or honestly a miracle. "Mind if I join you?" The voice was smooth, tinged with a confidence that immediately turned heads. Daniel glanced up to see a striking woman, her dark hair swept into a loose chignon, her tailored navy suit exuding understated elegance. She held a glass of red wine in one hand and an air of authority in the other. Sure, Daniel stammered, gesturing to the empty chair next to him. "I'm Lila Marston," she said, extending a hand. Her grip was firm, her gaze steady. "Daniel Harlow," he replied, trying to sound self-assured. "Freelancer, right?" "Graphic design and branding," she asked, a faint smile playing on her lips. Daniel blinked, caught off guard. "How did you?" "Your name tag," she said, pointing to the small sticker on his chest. "And your hands. Ink stains under your nails suggest you still sketch by hand. Admirable, but rare these days." Daniel felt a mix of flattery and unease. "You're observant. It's a habit. Comes in handy in my line of work," Lila said, sipping her wine. "And what line of work is that?" "Opportunities," she said cryptically. "Finding them, shaping them, making them thrive." Daniel raised an eyebrow. "That's vague." She laughed, a low musical sound that drew glances from nearby tables. "Fair enough. I run a consultancy. My job is to connect the right people and ideas, then watch the magic happen. And you, Daniel, might just be the right person for an idea I've been toying with." Daniel leaned forward. His curiosity piqued despite himself. "I'm listening." Lila set her glass down and folded her hands. "Picture this. A boutique agency that doesn't just offer branding but creates identities. A place where businesses, no matter how small, can find their voice and their story. We'd combine your artistic talent with my network and strategy. Together, we could build something exceptional." Daniel hesitated. Sounded too good to be true. "Why me? There are plenty of designers out there." "Because you're different," Lila said simply. "Your work has soul. It's not just about aesthetics. It tells a story. I saw some of your designs for the Oak Ridge Cafe rebrand. Simple yet powerful. That's rare, Daniel." He felt a flicker of pride but quickly tamped it down. "Even if I agreed, starting a business isn't that simple. There's funding, logistics, clients." "Leave that to me," Lila interrupted. "I'll handle the boring stuff. You focus on what you do best, creating." Daniel's mind raced. He couldn't deny the appeal. For months, he'd been scraping by, taking on uninspired projects to pay the bills. The idea of doing meaningful work again, of building something that mattered, was intoxicating. "What's the catch?" he asked, narrowing his eyes. Lila's smile widened. "No catch. Just ambition. And trust." The word lingered in the air, heavy with unspoken implications. Daniel hesitated, but something about Lila's confidence, her vision, made it impossible to say no. "All right," he said finally, extending his hand. "Let's do it." Lila's grip was firm, her smile triumphant. "You won't regret this, Daniel. Together we'll make waves. As the rain continued to lash against the windows, Daniel couldn't shake the feeling that he had just stepped into deep, uncharted waters. But for the first time in months, he felt alive. He had no way of knowing that the woman sitting across from him would soon turn his life into a storm far more devastating than the one raging outside. Chapter 2. The Foundation. The scent of freshly brewed coffee mingled with a faint hum of computers as Daniel settled into the cramped yet promising office space Lila had secured for them. It was far from glamorous. Bare walls, mismatched furniture, and a perpetually leaky faucet in the tiny kitchenette. But it was theirs. Lila had insisted they start lean. Her voice brimming with optimism as she spoke of humble beginnings turning into triumphs. Daniel set down his laptop and glanced around. Lila was already seated at her desk, flipping through a glossy portfolio of prospective clients. Her navy blazer was draped casually over her chair, and she exuded the kind of energy that could light up the dimmest room. "This place has potential," Lila said, looking up with a grin. "It has something," Daniel replied, plugging in his laptop. "We'll call it charm." Lila laughed. "Charm is what's going to make this business thrive. People don't buy products or services, they buy stories. And we're going to give them the best stories they've ever seen." Daniel nodded, but beneath his enthusiasm lingered a flicker of doubt. Their partnership was moving at breakneck speed. In just a few weeks, Lila had secured the office, drafted a business plan, and even lined up a handful of potential clients. He couldn't help but marvel at her efficiency, though he occasionally wondered if he was moving too fast. "Here's the first client we're pitching," Lila said, sliding a file across the desk. Daniel opened it to reveal a tech startup specializing in sustainable packaging. The company's founder, a sharp-eyed man named Alan Ford, was pictured in the file, along with notes about his background and business goals. "They're innovative but lack direction," Lila said. "That's where we come in. You create a brand that reflects their mission. I'll sell it like it's the only thing worth buying." "Deal." Daniel studied the file. It was an exciting challenge, one that aligned with the kind of meaningful work he'd been longing to do. "Deal," he said, a small smile tugging at his lips. The following weeks passed in a blur of late nights and early mornings. Daniel poured his heart into the project, sketching logos, refining color palettes, and crafting taglines that embodied the startup's vision. Lila, true to her word, worked tirelessly on the business side, setting up meetings, negotiating contracts, and forging connections with potential investors. Their first presentation was a success. Alan Ford was thrilled with the branding Daniel had created and signed a 6-month contract on the spot. It was a moment of triumph, a tangible validation of their fledgling agency's potential. As they celebrated with takeout and cheap champagne in the office that evening, Daniel allowed himself to believe they were on the brink of something extraordinary. "To the first of many wins," Lila said, raising her glass. "To many wins," Daniel echoed, clinking his glass against hers. But as the business grew, subtle cracks began to appear. Lila's confidence, which Daniel had initially admired, began to feel overwhelming at times. She was decisive to the point of being domineering, often making decisions without consulting him. When Daniel suggested they bring in a junior designer to lighten his workload, Lila dismissed the idea, insisting they couldn't afford it yet. "Every dollar we save now goes toward our future," she said, her tone firm. "Trust me, Daniel. I've got this." Her words were always coated in reassurance, but Daniel couldn't ignore the nagging feeling that his input was becoming less valuable. Then came the subtle shift in their roles. At first, Lila had handled client relations while Daniel focused on the creative side. But as more clients came on board, Lila began taking credit for decisions Daniel had made. "I couldn't have done this without my team," she would say during meetings, but her tone always implied she was the mastermind. Daniel told himself it didn't matter. What mattered was the success of the agency. But doubt lingered. One evening, Daniel stayed late at the office to finish a project. As he worked, he noticed an email on the shared account addressed to one of their top clients. The subject line read, "Strategic Leadership Changes at Marston & Harlow." Curious, he clicked on the email. What he read sent a chill down his spine. The message, written by Lila, introduced herself as the agency's sole decision-maker, subtly downplaying Daniel's role. The wording was careful, almost innocuous, but it was clear. Lila was positioning herself as the face of the company. Daniel sat back in his chair, staring at the screen. Was he overreacting? Or was Lila deliberately edging him out of the business they had built together? As he shut down his laptop that night, the office suddenly felt colder. For the first time since they started, Daniel wondered if he had made a mistake. He dismissed the thought quickly. Lila had been right about so many things, about the business, about their potential. Surely this was just a misunderstanding. But deep down, a small voice whispered a warning he couldn't quite ignore. Chapter 3. A Shift in Power. The hum of progress buzzed through the air as Marston and Harlow gained traction. What had begun as a modest venture was now attracting bigger clients, larger contracts, and growing recognition. For Daniel, the satisfaction of seeing his designs and ideas come to life was gratifying. But the dynamics between him and Lila had begun to feel uncomfortably one-sided. Lila had a natural talent for commanding a room. Whether they were pitching to potential clients or strategizing with existing ones, her presence was magnetic. Daniel admired her charisma, but he couldn't shake the feeling that his contributions were slowly being eclipsed. She now introduced herself as the visionary founder of the agency, often relegating Daniel to our creative genius behind the scenes. The change was gradual but unmistakable. It began with small things. Emails signed only with her name, decisions made without consulting him. When Daniel brought up these concerns, Lila brushed them aside with a laugh. "Daniel, you're worrying over nothing. I'm just playing the game. Clients need to feel secure, and sometimes that means showing them a strong leader. That doesn't change the fact that this is our company." But it felt different. The shared dream they had nurtured now seemed like it was being molded into something that fit Lila's singular vision. One morning, Lila called an impromptu meeting. The staff, now a small but dedicated team of six, gathered in the office's newly renovated conference room. Lila stood at the head of the table, projecting an air of command. "Good news, everyone," she began, her smile dazzling. "We've just secured our biggest client yet. Crestvale Technologies. They're rolling out a global sustainability initiative, and we're their agency of choice." Excited murmurs spread around the room. Daniel couldn't help but feel proud, knowing his branding proposal had played a significant role in landing the deal. "This is a turning point for us," Lila continued. "But it also means we need to restructure a bit to meet their expectations. I'll be overseeing all high-level decisions moving forward. Daniel will continue focusing on creative direction, ensuring the designs meet our standards." Her words were met with nods of approval from the team. But to Daniel, they landed like a slap. He forced a smile, though his stomach churned with unease. Later that day, Daniel cornered Lila in her office. "What was that about?" he asked, trying to keep his voice steady. "What do you mean?" Lila replied, not looking up from her laptop. "The restructuring. You didn't mention it to me beforehand." She sighed and leaned back in her chair. "Daniel, you know how demanding Crestvale is going to be. They need a clear point of contact, someone who can handle the business side without distractions. That's my role." "And my role?" he asked, his frustration bubbling to the surface. "Am I just the guy who churns out designs now?" Her gaze softened, but her tone remained firm. "You're more than that, and you know it. But we have to play to our strengths. This isn't personal, it's strategic. Trust me, this is the best way forward." Her words, though logical on the surface, left Daniel feeling diminished. He left her office with a bitter taste in his mouth. Over the next few weeks, the power dynamic continued to shift. Lila began taking meetings with clients without informing Daniel, often presenting ideas he had worked on as her own. Staff started coming to her for approvals rather than consulting him. Even their company's website, once a collaborative effort, now prominently featured Lila's image and a tagline she had coined, "Where vision meets execution." Daniel tried to convince himself it didn't matter who got the credit as long as the business thrived. But the growing distance between him and Lila was undeniable. One evening, as he worked late to finalize a campaign, Daniel overheard a phone call in Lila's office. Her voice was low, but her words were unmistakable. "Yes, I'm the sole decision maker here. Daniel. Oh, he's great, very talented, but he's not involved in the bigger picture. I handle all the strategic planning." Daniel froze. The implication was clear. Lila was presenting herself as the sole force behind Marston and Harlow's success. His hands trembled as he stared at the mock-up on his screen. His passion for the project tainted by a growing sense of betrayal. The breaking point came during a meeting with Crestvale Technologies. Daniel had worked tirelessly on a presentation that highlighted their innovative branding strategy, but as the meeting unfolded, it became clear that Lila had no intention of letting him speak. She steered the conversation, taking credit for ideas Daniel had meticulously developed. When the meeting ended and the clients left, Daniel confronted her in the hallway. "What the hell was that?" he demanded, his voice low but charged with anger. "Excuse me," Lila replied, arching an eyebrow. "You took credit for my work again. You didn't even let me speak." Lila crossed her arms. "Daniel, this isn't about egos. It's about what's best for the company. Crestvale needs confidence, and I provide that. If they see us bickering or unsure of our roles, we lose credibility." "Bickering?" Daniel scoffed. "I'm not bickering, Lila. I'm standing up for myself. This was supposed to be a partnership." "It is a partnership," she said, her tone icy. "But partnerships evolve. If you can't handle that, maybe you're not cut out for this." The words cut deeper than Daniel expected. He stared at her, searching for some trace of the woman who had once seemed like his greatest ally. But all he saw was a stranger, calculated, unyielding, and in control. As he walked away, he realized that the foundation they had built together was no longer solid ground. It was shifting, tilting, and threatening to crumble beneath his feet. And Lila Marston stood firmly at the helm. Chapter 4, The Divide. Daniel sat in his apartment, staring blankly at the branding sketches spread across his dining table. The work that once brought him joy now felt like a hollow obligation. Lila's voice echoed in his mind. "Partnerships evolve." He couldn't shake the bitterness in her tone or the weight of her words. The company he had helped build no longer felt like his. The next day at the office, the atmosphere was charged. Lila was in her element, charming a room full of prospective clients during a strategy session. Daniel lingered by the coffee machine, listening as she unveiled plans for the agency's expansion. "As we grow," Lila said, her voice smooth and confident, "we're redefining what it means to be a boutique agency. We're not just offering services. We're shaping industries." Her words were met with nods of approval and murmurs of agreement. Daniel clenched his jaw. The ideas she was presenting were ones they had brainstormed together late into the night. Yet, there was no mention of his name, no acknowledgement of his contribution. Later, when the clients left, Daniel approached Lila in her office. "Lila, can we talk?" he asked, his tone cautious. "Of course," she said, looking up from her laptop. "What's on your mind?" "It's about the direction we're heading. I feel like I'm being sidelined. You're making decisions without consulting me, presenting my work as your own. This isn't the partnership we agreed on." Lila sighed and leaned back in her chair, crossing her arms. "Daniel, we've had this conversation before. I'm not sidelining you. I'm streamlining the process. We can't afford inefficiency." "Inefficiency?" Daniel echoed, his frustration bubbling to the surface. "I'm your business partner, not some junior designer. I deserve a voice in these decisions." "You do," Lila replied, her tone even but firm. "But you also need to trust me to lead. Someone has to take charge, and I'm better suited for that role. You're brilliant at what you do, Daniel, but leadership, real leadership, isn't your strength." The words hit him like a punch to the gut. "So what am I, Lila? just a tool you use to make yourself look good. That's not fair, she said, her expression softening. I value you, Daniel. But if you're going to keep questioning everything I do, this isn't going to work. Daniel stared at her, searching for a trace of the woman who had convinced him to start this business. But she was gone, replaced by someone who saw him as expendable. The divide between them grew in the following weeks. Lila's unilateral decisions became more frequent, and her control over the company tightened. Staff meetings were no longer collaborative. They were performances, with Lila commanding the stage while Daniel sat in silence. Clients began to see Lila as the sole face of the agency, a perception she subtly encouraged. Daniel found solace in his work, pouring his frustration into his designs. But even that wasn't enough to quell the growing resentment. He started noticing discrepancies in their finances, expenses approved without his knowledge, invoices that didn't add up. When he confronted Lila, she dismissed his concerns with a wave of her hand. Daniel, I'm handling the finances, she said. You don't need to worry about it. But I do worry, he said. This is our company, Lila. I have a right to know what's going on. Her smile was thin and condescending. You need to focus on the creative side. Leave the rest to me. It was a pattern Daniel had come to recognize. Lila dismissing his concerns, reframing the conversation to make him doubt himself. But this time, he couldn't shake the feeling that something was seriously wrong. One evening, Daniel stayed late at the office, determined to get answers. He logged into the company's shared financial system and began sifting through the records. What he found made his blood run cold. There were payments to vendors he didn't recognize, large sums withdrawn without explanation, and personal expenses filed as business costs. Lila had been siphoning money from the company, using their profits to fund her lifestyle and private ventures. His hands trembled as he printed the evidence. This wasn't just a betrayal, it was theft. And it confirmed his worst fears. Lila wasn't just edging him out of the business. She was dismantling their partnership from the inside out. The next morning, Daniel confronted her. Lila, I need to talk to you. Now, he said, his voice tight with anger. Lila glanced up from her desk, her expression calm. What's wrong? He dropped the stack of papers on her desk. As care to explain. She picked up the papers, flipping through them with a practiced air of indifference. These are standard transactions, Daniel. Nothing unusual. Don't lie to me, he snapped. You've been using company funds for personal expenses. I trusted you, and this is how you repay me. Lila's expression hardened. Watch your tone, Daniel. You're making baseless accusations. Baseless, he said, his voice rising. I have the proof right here. She stood, her calm facade slipping. Do you even hear yourself? You're blowing this out of proportion. Everything I've done has been for the company. For the company, he said, laughing bitterly. You've been bleeding it dry, Lila. You've been using me. For a moment, neither of them spoke. The tension in the room was suffocating. Finally, Lila broke the silence. If you can't handle the way I run things, maybe you should leave. Daniel stared at her, stunned. Leave. This is my company too. Not anymore, she said, her voice cold. I've already spoken to the lawyers. I own the majority share. If you're not willing to fall in line, then yes, Daniel, you should leave. It was a moment of clarity for Daniel. A brutal, devastating clarity. Lila had been playing the long game all along, and he had been nothing more than a pawn. As he walked out of her office, his mind raced. He wasn't going to let her win, not without a fight. But for now, he needed a plan. And he needed to be smarter than Lila Marston. Because this wasn't just business anymore. This was war. Chapter 5. The Betrayal. The air in the office was thick with tension. Daniel moved through the space like a ghost, going through the motions of his work while his mind raced with plans. Lila's betrayal had shattered the fragile trust between them, and now every interaction felt like a carefully choreographed dance around an inevitable explosion. The weight of the evidence he had uncovered was a constant presence in his mind. Payments to mysterious vendors, personal expenses buried in company accounts, and her blatant manipulation of their partnership. Each piece was a reminder of how deeply she had deceived him. But what cut the deepest was her threat to push him out of the company they had built together. A week after their confrontation, Lila called for an all-hands meeting. The team gathered in the conference room, their expressions a mixture of curiosity and unease. Daniel sat near the back, his arms crossed, watching Lila with a wariness that hadn't been there before. "Thank you all for coming," Lila began, her tone warm and confident. "I have some exciting updates to share. Marston and Harlow is entering a new phase of growth, and with that comes the need for some restructuring." Daniel's stomach churned. "As we move forward," she continued, "I'll be taking on a more centralized leadership role to ensure consistency in our vision. Daniel will continue to focus on creative direction, but I'll be handling all high-level decisions and client interactions." The announcement was met with polite applause, but Daniel could feel the subtle shift in the room. His role was being publicly diminished, his authority quietly stripped away. When the meeting ended, he cornered Lila in the hallway. "What the hell was that?" he demanded, keeping his voice low but firm. "What was what?" she asked, her expression innocent. "That announcement. You didn't even tell me you were planning this." "Daniel," she said, her tone exasperated, "we've been over this. Someone needs to lead, and it's clear I'm better suited for that role. You're incredible at what you do, but this is about what's best for the company." Her words were like acid, burning away the last shred of trust he had left. "You mean what's best for you?" Lila's eyes narrowed. "Careful, Daniel. You're treading on thin ice." Determined not to be blindsided again, Daniel began his own investigation into Lila's activities. Late at night, after everyone had left the office, he pored over company records, emails, and contracts. What he found was worse than he had imagined. Lila hadn't just been funneling money into personal accounts. She had also been setting up a separate business under her name, using their agency's resources to build a foundation for her next venture. It was a backup plan, a way to cut ties with Marston and Harlow once she had milked it for all it was worth. Daniel stared at the evidence, his heart pounding. He had to act, but he couldn't afford to make a mistake. Lila was cunning, always one step ahead. If he confronted her again without a solid plan, she would twist the situation to her advantage. The breaking point came during a meeting with one of their biggest clients, Crestvale Technologies. The room was filled with executives, all eager to hear the progress on their campaign. Daniel had worked tirelessly on the presentation, perfecting every detail. But as Lila stood at the front of the room, walking through the slides, it became clear she had no intention of letting him speak. "This campaign," she said, gesturing to the screen, "is a reflection of Marston and Harlow's commitment to innovation. It's been my vision from the start to create something that aligns with Crestvale's goals." Daniel clenched his fists under the table, the words hitting him like a blow. "My vision." She had taken his work, his ideas, and claimed them as her own. When the meeting ended and the clients left, Daniel confronted her in the hallway. "You've crossed the line, Lila," he said, his voice low but simmering with anger. She didn't even flinch. "Daniel, we're not doing this here." "No, we're doing this now," he snapped. "You've been stealing from me, stealing from the company. I have the evidence. The personal expenses, the side business, all of it." Lila's eyes flashed with something dark. Fear, maybe, or anger. "Be very careful about what you're accusing me of." "I'm done being careful," Daniel said. "You think you can push me out, take everything we built together? You're not going to get away with this." For a moment, neither of them spoke. The tension between them was electric, a silent battle of wills. Then Lila smiled, a cold, calculating smile that sent a chill down Daniel's spine. "You want a fight, Daniel?" "Fine. But remember, I don't lose." Daniel knew he was outmatched. Lila was ruthless, and her charm had won over the staff, the clients, and even their investors. But he also knew he couldn't back down. He spent the next few days gathering his evidence, consulting with a lawyer, and preparing for the battle ahead. He knew exposing Lila wouldn't be easy. She would fight tooth and nail to protect her empire. But for the first time, he felt a glimmer of hope. Lila Marston had underestimated him. And Daniel Harlow wasn't going down without a fight. As he walked out of the office that evening, clutching a folder of incriminating documents, he felt a strange mix of fear and determination. This wasn't just about the business anymore. It was about justice. And he was ready to see it through to the end. Chapter 6. The Downfall. The crisp morning air did little to calm Daniel's nerves as he stood outside the sleek glass office building that had once symbolized his dreams. Now it felt more like a battleground. In his hand, he clutched the folder of incriminating documents, a lifeline and a weapon. Today would determine whether he could salvage his career or lose everything to Lila's cunning schemes. Inside, the office buzzed with its usual energy, but Daniel noticed subtle changes. Staff members whispered in corners, stealing glances at him. Lila's charm had woven a narrative that painted her as the visionary leader and him as the volatile, expendable partner. The divide was palpable. Daniel approached his desk, ignoring the stares. He had scheduled a meeting with their top clients and key stakeholders, framing it as a critical update on the company's future. Lila, unaware of his intentions, had given her approval, likely confident in her control over the narrative. As the meeting began, Daniel sat at the head of the table, a spot Lila usually occupied. She entered the room moments later, her expression sharp as she surveyed the setup. Her confident smile returned quickly as she took the seat beside him, radiating calm authority. "Thank you all for coming," Daniel began, his voice steady but firm. "This meeting is to address some pressing concerns about the direction of Marston and Harlow." Lila raised an eyebrow but said nothing, allowing him to speak. "For months," Daniel continued, "I've dedicated myself to this company. I've trusted my partner, Lila Marston, to share that dedication. But trust, as it turns out, has its limits." A ripple of unease passed through the room. Lila's smile faltered, her eyes narrowing as she gauged his intent. "What are you implying, Daniel?" she asked, her voice calm but edged with warning. "I'm not implying anything," he said, opening the folder and distributing copies of the documents he had prepared. "These financial records speak for themselves. Personal expenses filed under company accounts. Unauthorized payments to non-existent vendors. And perhaps most damning, the creation of a separate entity under Lila's name, using our resources." Gasps filled the room as the attendees scanned the documents. Lila's composure cracked for a fraction of a second before she regained control. "This is absurd," she said, laughing lightly. "Daniel, you're clearly confused. These records are being misinterpreted." "Am I?" Daniel countered, his voice rising. "Because I've had these reviewed by a lawyer and an accountant. The evidence is clear. You've been using this company, our company, for your own gain." The room fell silent. Lila's gaze hardened as she leaned forward, her tone dripping with feigned concern. "Daniel, I understand you're under a lot of stress. But these baseless accusations are damaging, not just to me, but to everyone in this room." Daniel met her stare, unwavering. "The only damage here is the one you've caused, Lila. You've manipulated me, our staff, and our clients. You've lied, stolen, and betrayed the very principles we built this company on." The tension in the room was suffocating. Lila looked around, gauging the reactions of their clients and investors. Her charm, once her greatest weapon, now seemed to falter under the weight of Daniel's accusations. "If you believe there's been a misunderstanding," she said, her voice tight, "we can resolve this privately. There's no need to create a spectacle." "This isn't a misunderstanding," Daniel replied, standing. "This is accountability. And it's long overdue." He turned to the room. "I've given everything to this company. I believed in its mission, in its potential. And I believed in Lila. But she's shown her true colors. Now, it's up to all of you to decide what kind of leadership you want for the future." After the meeting, chaos erupted. Clients demanded answers, staff whispered in hushed tones, and Lila disappeared into her office, slamming the door behind her. Daniel stayed calm, answering questions and providing copies of his evidence. He knew this was only the beginning, but for the first time in months, he felt a sense of control. Later that evening, as he prepared to leave the office, Lila appeared in the doorway. Her expression was a mixture of anger and desperation. "You think you've won," she said, her voice low. "But you have no idea what you've started." "I didn't start this, Lila," Daniel replied, meeting her glare.
"You did.
And now it's over." She laughed bitterly. "You're naive if you think this will end here. I don't lose, Daniel. Not to you, not to anyone." "Then we'll see," he said, walking past her. "Because I'm not backing down." The battle was far from over, but as Daniel stepped into the cool night air, he felt something he hadn't in a long time: hope. Lila had underestimated him, and now she was facing the consequences of her ambition and deceit. The game had changed, and Daniel was ready to play. Chapter 7, The Counterplay. The office was quieter than usual in the days following the explosive meeting. The once bustling energy of Marston and Harlow had been replaced with an uneasy stillness, as if the company itself was holding its breath. Daniel felt the weight of every glance, every whispered conversation, but he stayed focused. The groundwork for his next move was already in motion. Lila, on the other hand, had retreated behind closed doors. She held private meetings with key staff, working to undo the damage Daniel had inflicted. Her charm, though diminished, was still potent. By the week's end, she had managed to convince a handful of employees to stand by her, promising them promotions and bonuses if they stayed loyal. But Daniel wasn't idle. He had spent years perfecting the art of observation, studying people, understanding their motivations. And now, he was using that skill to dismantle Lila's control, piece by piece. One evening, Daniel met with Sasha, their head of marketing, at a nearby cafe. Sasha had always been one of Lila's staunchest supporters, but recent events had left her questioning her allegiance. "I don't know what to believe anymore," Sasha admitted, stirring her coffee absent-mindedly. "Lila's always been so commanding. But the things you showed us, the financial records, it's hard to ignore." "She's using you, Sasha," Daniel said gently.
"Just like she used me.
Everything she does is calculated to serve her own interests. You've seen it yourself. How she takes credit for other people's work. How she manipulates clients and staff." Sasha hesitated, her brow furrowed. "I just don't want to be caught in the middle of this." "You're not in the middle," Daniel said. "You're part of the solution. Help me set things right. The company can survive without Lila, but it won't survive her lies." After a long pause, Sasha nodded.
"Okay,
I'm in." Sasha wasn't the only one. Over the next few days, Daniel quietly rallied more employees to his side, sharing evidence of Lila's misconduct and painting a vision of a future without her toxic influence. By the time the week ended, the scales of power had begun to tip in his favor. Lila, however, wasn't going down without a fight. She called an emergency board meeting, framing it as a chance to clear the air and reaffirm her leadership. Daniel expected as much and arrived prepared. The boardroom was tense as the meeting began. Lila opened with a speech, her voice smooth and confident as she laid out her version of events. She painted herself as a misunderstood leader, someone who had made tough decisions for the good of the company. "Daniel's accusations are unfounded," she said, her tone dripping with faux sincerity. "He's been under a lot of stress, and I don't hold it against him. But this company needs stability, and I'm the one who can provide it." When she finished, the room turned to Daniel. He stood, taking a deep breath before addressing the board. "Stability," he began, his voice calm but firm. "Is that what you call embezzlement and betrayal?" He passed out new documents, updated records showing even more of Lila's financial misdeeds, along with emails and text messages that highlighted her attempts to manipulate staff and clients. He had pieced it all together with the help of a forensic accountant he'd quietly hired.
This isn't about stress, he continued. It's about accountability. Lila has exploited this company for her own gain, jeopardizing its future in the process. She's not a leader, she's a liability. The room was silent as the board reviewed the evidence. Lila's calm facade cracked, her expression shifting from confidence to thinly veiled panic. This is ridiculous, she snapped. You're taking things out of context. Am I? Daniel asked, locking eyes with her. Because the evidence speaks for itself. And if the board doesn't act, I'm prepared to take this public. The threat hung in the air, heavy with implication. The board members exchanged uneasy glances. They had seen enough. By the end of the meeting, the decision was unanimous. Lila was to step down as CEO, effective immediately. She fought tooth and nail, threatening legal action, but her protests fell on deaf ears. The evidence was irrefutable, and the board was unwilling to risk the company's reputation by keeping her in power. As Lila stormed out of the office, Daniel felt a mixture of relief and sadness. He had won the battle, but it had come at a cost. The dream he had once shared with Lila was gone, replaced by the harsh reality of betrayal and loss. In the weeks that followed, Daniel worked tirelessly to rebuild the company's reputation. He reached out to clients, reassuring them of Marston and Harlow's integrity. He reorganized the leadership team, promoting employees who had shown loyalty and competence during the crisis. Slowly but surely, the company began to heal. But Daniel knew the fight wasn't over. Lila might have been removed from power, but she was still out there, plotting her next move. And if there was one thing he had learned, it was to never underestimate her. For now, though, he allowed himself a moment of quiet satisfaction. The company was his again, and he was determined to honor the vision he had once believed in. This time he would do it on his terms. Chapter 8. The Revelation. The days following Lila's departure were a whirlwind of restructuring and damage control. Daniel, now at the helm of Marston and Harlow, felt the weight of his responsibilities more than ever. The cracks left by Lila's mismanagement ran deep, but the company was slowly finding its footing. Yet, amidst the rebuilding, an unsettling question lingered in Daniel's mind. Why had Lila done it all? Her betrayal was undeniable, but her motives remained a mystery. It wasn't just about greed. There was something deeper, more personal behind her actions. Daniel couldn't let it go. One evening, as he sifted through old company records, Daniel stumbled upon a folder tucked away in Lila's former desk. The documents inside detailed her initial pitch for Marston and Harlow, a vision remarkably similar to the dream they had shared at the start. But beneath the idealism were handwritten notes, scribbled in Lila's precise penmanship. Control is everything. No one can betray you if you hold the power. Build it for yourself, not for anyone else. Daniel frowned, flipping through the pages until a photograph slipped out. It was an old picture of Lila, standing arm in arm with an older man. The caption on the back read, "Me and Dad, before it all fell apart." Curiosity burned within him. Who was this man, and what role had he played in shaping the woman Lila had become? The answers came from an unlikely source. Lila's estranged younger brother, Marcus. After some digging, Daniel discovered that Marcus worked as a freelance writer in a neighboring city. He reached out under the guise of wanting to learn more about Lila's background for a potential biography. Marcus hesitated but eventually agreed to meet. Over coffee, he painted a picture of a very different Lila, one shaped by a father who had built a successful business empire only to lose it all in a scandal that left the family in ruins. She idolized him, Marcus said, stirring his tea. He was her hero. But when the scandal hit, she saw how quickly people turned on him. Investors, employees, even friends. They all abandoned him. Daniel listened intently, pieces of the puzzle falling into place. Lila vowed never to let that happen to her, Marcus continued. She became obsessed with control. It wasn't just about succeeding, it was about making sure no one could ever take what she built. Returning to the office, Daniel reflected on what he had learned. Lila's actions, while unforgivable, suddenly made a twisted kind of sense. She had been driven by fear. Fear of losing everything, fear of being betrayed. And in her quest to protect herself, she had become the very thing she despised. Chapter 9: The Fallout. The news of Lila's downfall spread quickly, tarnishing her reputation beyond repair. She attempted to launch her separate business, but the scandal surrounding her name made clients wary. Investors backed out, staff refused to follow, and her grand plans crumbled before they even began. Daniel, meanwhile, worked tirelessly to rebuild Marston and Harlow. He focused on transparency, fostering a culture of trust and collaboration, everything Lila had failed to provide. The company slowly regained its footing, and clients who had been on the fence returned, impressed by Daniel's leadership. But the victory was bittersweet. The scars of Lila's betrayal lingered, and Daniel couldn't shake the sense of loss. Despite everything she had done, a part of him mourned the dream they had once shared. Months later, as Daniel prepared for an important pitch, he received an unexpected visitor. Lila stood in the lobby, looking nothing like her former self. Her usual polished demeanor was gone, replaced by a weariness that aged her. "Daniel," she said, her voice softer than he remembered. "Can we talk?" He hesitated but eventually led her into a conference room. She sat across from him, her hands clasped tightly, her gaze uncharacteristically vulnerable. "I wanted to apologize," she began. "Not because I expect forgiveness. I know I don't deserve it. But because I owe you the truth." Daniel folded his arms, waiting. "I did what I did because I was afraid," she admitted. "Afraid of losing control, of being betrayed, of failing. I thought if I held all the power I could protect myself. But I was wrong. All I did was destroy the one thing I actually cared about." Her words hung in the air, heavy with regret. "You didn't just destroy the company," Daniel said. "You destroyed trust. That's not something you can rebuild with an apology." "I know," she said, her voice barely above a whisper. "But I needed to say it anyway." They sat in silence for a moment, the weight of their shared history pressing down on them. "I hope you find what you're looking for, Lila," Daniel said finally, standing. "But it won't be here." She nodded, a single tear slipping down her cheek, before walking out of the room and out of his life. In the end, Daniel found solace in the lessons he had learned. Trust, he realized, was a fragile thing, easily broken but worth fighting for. He poured that philosophy into the company, ensuring that Marston and Harlow became a place where collaboration and integrity thrived. Lila, as far as he knew, disappeared from the industry. Occasionally, he wondered where she was, whether she had found peace. But he didn't dwell on it. His focus was on the future, one he was determined to build, not alone, but with the people who had stood by him when it mattered most. And as the company flourished, Daniel knew one thing for certain. The storm Lila had brought into his life had made him stronger. He had survived, and he had rebuilt. On his terms,